Hi, I'm Professor Allen.
And I'm Em, and you're listening to the Shortbox Showcase.
Episode 60, 5 years later.
It is, somehow, our fifth podcast anniversary.
Woo!
So it's time for us to do our annual State of the Pod address, cover some feedback, as well as an annual from all the way back in 2017.
Except that this time we aren't exactly covering the annual in the traditional sense. We're going to act it out.
Fortunately, you don't have to listen to us acting that much. The us is more a sense of our podcasting community, our friends.
Online buddies.
Who all chipped in together to participate by sending us in lines and lots of weird animal noises.
No, really. This audio drama contains lots of animal noises.
So, listener beware, that is definitely going to be the main event of this episode. So we will do that first, and then come back with our feedback afterwards.
The Relatively Geeky Podcast Network presents an audio drama version of Animal Planet, from Super Sons No. 1, published by DC Comics, cover dated January 2018. The original comic book story was written by Peter Tomasi, penciled by Paul Pelletier, inked by Cam Smith, colored by Hi-Fi, and lettered by Carlos Mangel and Travis Lanham. Adapted with dialogue and narration added by M and Alan Middleton. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the story.
Gotham City.
$14.99 for shipping? Jeez, at that point I'll just go to a brick and mortar. Hey!
Excuse me.
Come on, girl. People in the city never paying attention? Cookie? Where'd you go, girl?
Stay, Cookie. Good girl. Gotham is not a place for dogs, is it? We're on the same page, Cookie.
New York City. Superboy John Kent and Robin Damian Wayne are on the job.
You got this?
Of course I got this. I'm super bra.
Sure you got it there, super bra.
Take these kids out! He's over!
I'm inside and looking for your crappy driver. Super bra is here to save your bank robbing butts while I kick them. Right, super bra?
You sure blab a lot more than when we first met. Didn't even know guys still robbed banks on a regular basis. Seems kinda old-fashioned.
There are always people who want money the easy way. According to this article I showed you, they hit 4 here in Manhattan just this month.
Thanks for saving my livelihood, boy Superman. Veggie kebabs for you and your brightly garbed tiny friend.
Thanks! My friend's name is Batboy. Make sure and spread that around.
Batboy. Got it.
New York's finest. They can mop up. Chopper's half a mile away. Hand over my veggie kebab and let's get out of here.
Oops. My bad.
Above Metropolis. 50 minutes later.
That was fun.
Yes, you've mentioned that 17 times.
See you at HQ on Friday?
In the meantime, we'll keep checking news sites for anything that you need my help on.
Would you stop with that? We're a team. Come on, up high.
I do not high five.
Fist bump.
My fists are used for hitting, not bumping.
Cut back on drinking so much idiot juice, why don't ya? Hey, Crypto. Mom and Dad not back from their date night yet, huh?
Roof.
Somebody's in a good mood. You miss me?
Roof.
I was only gone a couple hours. So, that's one more
Roof.
Down.
Roof.
Tomorrow I'll tackle the missing animals.
Roof.
Roof. Do a little good each day. That's my motto.
Roof.
You got that, boy? You do a little good.
As his boy sleeps, Crypto flies to Wayne Manor. Opening the barn door, Crypto looks in.
Ruff, 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 ruff.
And Bat-Cow's call reaches the ears of Ace the Bat-Hound and Titus. Titus awakes.
Titus approaches the open barn door.
Crypto retrieves a newspaper from inside his cape.
Doggone Gotham, rash of dog nappings, hound, tri-state area.
A harness is hooked onto Titus's collar, and Crypto leaps into the air, dragging Titus behind him. The dogs land outside the window of DC Investigations.
Well, well, well. Look what the cat dragged in. Must be something serious for the two of you to come see Detective Chimp. I'm still pretty messed up from the fight against the Brotherhood of Evil last month.
The chimp is in bed, left leg propped up on a pillow in a cast.
Doesn't Monsieur Mala know ape shall not fight ape? Or chimpanzee, for that matter. You guys saved my butt, though. If not my shin bone. More than the others tried to do. So what can I help you with?
Crypto hands over the newspaper article to Detective Chimp.
Yeah, I was going to take a look as soon as I got out of this thing.
He gestures to his cast.
Article gets most of the big points right. Been a spate of dog nappings all over the city. No leads. Been no increased action on the seller's market. None of them have made it home or been found. So wherever they're going, they either stay in there because they like it or, well, you can fill in the rest. Problem with this kind of case is time is always of the essence. And numbers don't hurt either. I don't know where... Wait a minute. You're here to get the band back together, aren't you? Yeah, I hate it when I'm right. You want the Super Pets back together for one more mission. I should have known this day would come. Flexi, the plastic bird, Bat Hound, Clay Critter, Crypto, Bat Cow, and Streaky. You're a hell of a team, it's true. Never seen a finer force of fur. But you two don't need me to tell you what went down, who you lost on that last mission. Tell you the truth, I don't know if Streaky would even talk to you anymore, Crypto. If I were her, I wouldn't.
Crypto is ashamed, but his foot rests on the article. His resolve returns.
Okay, okay, if it means that much to you, I get it. You Kryptonian super pets can be so dramatic. Sheesh. This time of night, you can find Streaky in Centennial Park. At the watering hole, if you're lucky, Flexi won't be far behind. They meet up for a drink every Wednesday at 2 p.m.
Crypto flies out the window, dragging Titus into the sky.
If she asks, I didn't say a word!
The dogs land in the park with a thump. The dogs sniff around the park, and Titus maybe finds something. Crypto finds the carousel, while from the shadows, Streaky the Supercat watches.
Crypto spins himself on the carousel. Titus has found the fountain, and Crypto reminisces. Crypto remembers the fountain, and hanging out with Clay Critter, Flexi, Bat Cow, the whole team of super pets. They're splashing in the water, having fun.
Meow.
In the flashback, the team makes for the Gotham Zoo, where they battle Dexstar, an evil owl, and Harley's two hyenas, Bud and Lou.
We cut to a kitchen in Smallville. Crypto sitting under the table, his super owner reading the morning paper.
This article about the drug cartel is riveting, Lois.
Thank you, Clark. I need to get back to the office soon, see what the day brings. My coffee is a little cold, by the way. Do you mind?
Of course, dear. Glad to.
On the back of the newspaper, we see this headline.
Wreckage at Gotham Zoo baffles GCPD.
We cut back to the zoo in the aftermath of the battle. The Clay Critter lies dead. Back in the present day, back in Centennial Park. and the super cat makes herself known.
Meow.
Titus separates Crypto and Streaky. But the super animals want to mix it up.
Titus interrupts the fight again. Titus explains.
You want the super pets back together for one more mission.
And then Flexi the Plasty Bird arrives, landing on Crypto. And Crypto shakes him off.
Flexi tries to communicate what he knows.
Gura, gura, gura.
And stretches a wing to the sky.
Gura.
But the pets can't stop fighting amongst themselves.
Again, Titus separates them. Flexibird takes to the sky, as does Crypto, carrying Titus behind. And Streaky looks at Crypto with love.
And the Plastibird leads the way, his neck stretching, his head turning into an arrowhead as they approach a barn. A barn that turns into an alien spaceship as they approach. Through the windows, Flexi sees all the kidnapped animals. And the kidnapped dogs see the bird.
Crypto focuses his laser vision on the ship. And the super pets are inside. The Plastibird tries to explain the situation. But the kidnapped dogs, doing what dogs do, chase the bird. Until he becomes a bear.
Landing above, the bird tries again to communicate. But it's not until Crypto and Titus intervene that they listen. Flexi hears a vehicle approach.
Inside, a green alien monologues. Over his shoulder, we see a cage full of dogs.
No need to worry about your captors anymore. You're much better off here with me, the stranger. I've seen it all across the galaxy. Folks who think they can collar anything cute and fuzzy, make you their pets. I'll spend my whole life freeing you if I have to.
And then Flexi and Crypto appear, flying at the van. The stranger pushes a button inside the vehicle, and the van becomes a spaceship.
The vessel crashes in front of Streaky and Batcow. Titus sees the captured dogs inside.
Can't you see? I'm saving them.
He runs from the crash site toward the barn.
I can save you all, too. These humans, they don't respect you. I can set you free. I'm the strange...
But the alien's words are cut off by the Bat-Hound. He is slammed into the ground, and Titus and Crypto stalk him.
Can't you see? You're just pets to them.
After a brief discussion, Crypto flies off.
Hey, buddy. Where's your flying friend going? Just stay calm. You need a little nap to see things my way.
As the stranger reaches into his coat, Crypto returns.
No!
Streaky has captured the alien in a cage, and Crypto's heat vision seals him in.
Let me out! All I want to do is help, and you've ruined everything! Stupid beasts! You don't deserve to be saved! You don't deserve to be saved!
The captured dogs are freed, and with a glance, Crypto and Titus have formulated a plan. The next morning, Jonathan Kent arrives at Stately Wayne Manor, with Flexi the Plastibird on his head.
I've got it, Pennyworth. What took you so long?
I flew as soon as I got your freaked out call, which you didn't even need to do since this weird pigeon thing you sent was bugging me until I came over.
Pigeon thing? That's not from me.
Flexi flies off of John's head.
Get in here. You have to learn to tie up your dog.
Crypto? He's at home. I think. Mom and Dad kind of gave him his freedom.
Well, I hope your day's freed up because you've got some work to do.
Forget that, Damien. You know I keep a list. I already have my...
Damien throws open the manor's large back door, revealing...
Next mission. Whoa.
Yeah, all the missing dogs. Mission accomplished, apparently. So now you have to get them all home, John.
Me? We're a team.
My mission is the night, corncob. This is day.
Okay, how about I knock you into tomorrow night, bat boy?
As the Super Sons continue to bicker, Titus and Crypto give each other a fist bump. Or is it a paw bump? And each one is thinking.
Super Pets!
The end.
We would like to thank our entire voice cast.
Mark Sweeney as dog owner.
Robert Sweeney as Cookie.
Zoom Yukinori as the stranger.
Pat Sampson as Damian Wayne, Robin.
Mike Staley as John Kent, Superboy.
Luke Giaconetti as New York driver.
Mrs. Valerie Quarterbin as kebab vendor.
Gene Hendricks as Crypto.
Rob Myers as Batcow.
Mike Staley as Titus.
Pat Sampson as newspaper headlines.
Nathaniel Wayne as Detective Chimp.
Dr. Ange as Streaky the Supercat.
Max Romero as Flexi the Plastibird.
Ruth and Darren as Lois and Clark.
Additional animal noises were provided by many of the people named above, and also Marigan Wayne and Kira Hendricks.
Alan and M. Middleton were your narrators. The opening titles were read by the irredeemable Shag.
We would also like to thank those people who volunteered to be in the audio drama, but for one reason or another were unable to participate.
Thanks to Aaron Moss, Bill Robinson, Mike Peacock, Noel Thingvall, Carter Sampson, Paul Spataro, Tom Panarese, and Chad Bokelman. We appreciate your willingness to participate.
Again, thanks to all the podcasters who volunteered to be part of this project. And of course, thanks to you for listening. And we're back. That was fun.
I did want to add a special note of thanks to Rob Myers of the Tim Drake podcast, Everyone Loves the Drake. This, earlier in the year, he produced a 4-part audio adaptation of the A Lonely Place of Living storyline, and that was so good, it was like close to graphic audio level.
Holy crap.
That actually sort of freed me up a little bit, because there was, I mean, this sounds sarcastic, but there was no chance of topping that, or even coming close. So I ended up going a whole other direction. Instead of like the fully scored and produced audio drama, I went more like radio play.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of sound effects here and there, but no score, nothing too dramatic. So thanks to Rob's achievement,
yeah,
we were able to set a goal actually achievable for us.
We didn't have the pressure of like, okay, so we're competing with graphic audio. It's like, oh, no.
That's somebody, been done.
Somebody else took that bullet for us, so now we can do... 1940s. Six Idiots in a Studio. Like, okay, that we can do.
And again, Rob Myers had done such excellent work on that, and he threw himself completely into his role as Batcow. I appreciated everyone's willingness, let's just say, to...
take any role and commit.
Exactly.
So everybody was a great sport, and... good news about having a lot of podcasters who are around your vintage is that most of them have kids that they could call on to make weird animal noises.
That did come in handy as well, though I think some were just using that as an excuse for a little bit of fun themselves. But Who am I to judge? Again, thanks to everybody.
So now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will do the state of the pod and empty out our mailbag.
Alexander Hamilton, Aaron Burr. If you're a history lover or a musical lover, you probably know about both Hamilton and Burr's rise to power in the early stages of American history and their infamous duel. But what if you didn't know the full story? What if one of them was a werewolf? White Rocket Entertainment proudly presents a 48-page full-color comic book, Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale. Written by Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist, art by Nate Niles, colors by Ace Wheely and Ken Solomon, letters by Percival Constantine, and edited by Johanna Albrick. Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale. Available digitally on Kindle and Comics Central, C-O-M-I-X Central. Prefer a print copy? Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale, along with my other published works, are available at theyardsaleartist.bigcartel.com. That's theyardsaleartist.bigcartel.com. Or you can buy it directly from me, creator Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist, at any of my Comic-Con appearances. Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale. Get your copy today. You won't regret it. Don't take my word for it. Here's what Ming Chen from AMC's TV series Comic Book Men had to say about it.
I really enjoyed it. A lot of great werewolf scenes in here. A lot of great... this is how I wish history would be told to kids. Books like Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale.
That's Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale.
And we're back. In the last 12 months, Relatively Geeky has produced 40 episodes, which is our lowest number since we started. Yay!
Yay!
If you remember our goal from last year, 40 was pretty much our target.
Yeah, so we never have promised regular dates.
Yeah, that's just too much pressure.
Yeah, it's just...
to have a quote-unquote weekly show.
Yeah, to have a schedule or a quota takes a lot of the fun out of it on our side, where weirdly enough this is the one area that we are both very spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know what,
some time is freed up.
Yeah, I feel like it, or I have something to talk about. Let's just roll with it.
But without promising that, we came pretty close to that for the first 4 years. We were in the high 40s to fit in the 50s. You know, but last year we talked about trying to slow that pace down, you know, sort of pressure off the valve just a little bit. So I think that worked. Did 17 quarter bins, one and a half a month, 12 comics reading journals. This is our 7th Short Box Showcase, and 4 Relatively Geeky Presents. I think that's a pretty good monthly rhythm. A comics reading journal, a quarter bin, and a something else. Mostly a short box, sometimes another quarter bin, sometimes a special thing that comes along.
Yeah, holiday episodes and crossovers inspired by our fellow podcasters.
So I'd like to do that again for this upcoming year, maybe a few fewer special episodes, but, you know, 3 a month, 36 to 40, I think that would be a good thing. Probably not going to do another audio drama.
Not for a while, that's for sure.
Even without going full graphic audio level, that's still a time-consuming activity.
It really is. Although they were not in this feed, we did also do 5 episodes of Dorkness to Light.
That is true.
I really have loved doing Dorkness to Light, mm-hmm. and I think the rule of podcasting is always the smaller the niche,
the more passionate you can be.
The more passionate you are and the better your product is. I'm really proud of that show. We just released our 17th episode,
mm-hmm.
and I was just listening through it for edit purposes, and every couple minutes kept thinking, this was a really good one. Really, I'm very proud of this. And so that means that I have been taking more of a role on that and trying mm-hmm. to do more active blogging,
tumbling,
and running the Tumblr, and now that we have a Twitter, but like trying to make sure that there's really good quality on the Dorkness brand,
right?
And that's been taking
a little bit of Short Box and Relatively Geeky.
Yeah, a little bit more of my focus has been moving that direction.
Speaking of branding, we did business cards and postcards for both sites, but I really dig the Relatively Geeky business cards.
Thank
you. Next cons that we go to, or the next Circle of Comic Book Life packages that get sent out, if I remember, will have a business card or two in them, so that you put some of your creative energy into that as well.
Yes, and we have been seeing continued growth in subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this until you sent me the notes with all of the stats for this year, but at some point we crossed the 60,000 total download mark. Like, That's bananas.
That's pretty good. Nathaniel Wayne, only 31,000 of those.
Yes.
So it's a lot of other people, too.
Podcasting is such a weird thing because there is, like, such a variety that there are professionally produced...
NPR and BBC NPR and ESPN and BBC. Discovery Channel. They do podcasts.
And they're, you know, independent production houses like Welcome to Night Vale and the McElroy package. And that have become their own independent, like, media conglomerates. And that's professional quality. Of course, we don't even try to aspire to that.
And you have semi-professional, you have true amateurs and hobbyists, you have all levels.
But even among, like, our hobbyist friends, you know, Michael Bailey gets thousands of downloads. You know, I always even just sort of measure myself to Mike and be like, oh, yeah, I mean, like, we've got a good group.
We get a decent
number of downloads and stuff like that. But when I mention offhandedly, oh, yeah, I do a podcast. And people are like, oh, wow, that's really cool. Like, what sort of, like, audience do you have? And I'm like, I mean, it's just a couple hundred. And they're like, wow. And I'm like, I guess that is kind of impressive that I talk into the microphone and people listen to it and then, like, actual artists out there who have smaller followings.
That is true.
It's a little humbling.
In terms of those episodes, the Watchmen and the Identity Crisis episodes, those continue to get regular downloads, as do every episode of Uncovering the Bronze Age. In the publishing world, they call it the mid-list, the ones that are always there producing, you know, selling. That's you. Your episodes always sell, quote-unquote.
I really like doing that. But life rolls on.
Yeah, and that's for both of us. You know, for you, it was a new job and all the process that was involved with getting it and the resume and working on the cover letter and that process. You took extremely seriously, got advice from everyone, reworked it and worked it and got the job.
Yeah. It was about a 2-month void of my life from getting the notice of, hey, this position is available, to getting the confirmation call that says, yes, we would like you to start.
And it was a number one priority for you for about all those 2 months.
And I told everyone, I was like, I don't care what my thing is, it comes second to this because I need this job. Mm-hmm. Better pay, more in line with sort of like career goals, more responsibilities.
It is way closer to where you
live. Oh, yeah, it's only about half as far of a commute.
1.1 miles.
Mm-hmm, this one's
now
about
0.7 miles. Yep. You found the only library closer than the one you were previously working at.
Mm-hmm.
You would walk by this library on the way to your job at the other library.
Yeah, and so I did get the job, but that was a pretty high stress part of my life for a good long while. And then basically immediately after getting that notice, we started having a lot of family medical concerns.
Yeah, this quote-unquote state of the pod covers the 12 months. But really, 2018 itself was health related to my dad, to your roommate, to...
my grandmother on the other side, like...
Valerie Quarterman.
Mrs. Quarterman got her knee surgery. Yay! But that was
took a while,
a long and extended
was home a lot longer,
progress.
And that cuts into podcast time.
Yep.
Though we love her very much.
Yep. But you know, you just
but
had
care and concern and appointments and.
Yep. For both of us, we were the token able-bodied person in the household, which means congratulations. You now get to cook, clean, and transport. Well, that's usually a little bit more 50-50, and now you're doing all of the housework, plus, even if it's just a little bit of additional care and checking in and bringing ice packs. And
So sometimes our hobbies, even the ones we really enjoy, do have to take a back seat. What has now become an old saying, life happens.
I did not read a book between February 20th.
Yeah.
And June 20th.
Yeah. We were busy.
We were very, very busy with a lot of life stuff. A lot of it was stressful.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was really good. I bought a new car. I publicly came out as non-binary. I'm in the process of, like, getting a therapist now that I have health insurance. Yay. That's all really good stuff, but it's pretty stressful. Then you've been thinking about going to more academic conferences and career conferences and doing more professional writing. But again, where does that time come from? It comes from the fun pile.
So,
I also wanted to mention that I am still working on my secret project. I had to take a pretty extended pause, so I am at basically the same point that I was
a
in
year ago
February.
When we talked about
before,
it last.
Yep. You know, okay. I did a little bit of progress up till February, and man, in February, I was just ready to hit the ground running. I was like, New Year's resolutions. I'm going to get on this. I'm not going to let this wait. And then life out of nowhere.
Exactly.
You know, financial planning. Have you thought about your retirement and life insurance? Oh my God, I'm 27.
Hey. Exactly. Well, you're 27.
Now you're 27.
That means yes.
Congratulations. You're in your upper 20s now. You're edging in on 30. You should probably have things like, I don't know, a will, sort of record of properties.
You've just gotten a second job in the same career. No!
I'm like, yeah, okay, so that's a lot to have to sort of process, but I am working on it.
Okay.
I have plans.
Good.
Working in academia has given me a little bit more record to some resources that I've actually found. So it is still part of my plan going forward. It's so funny because public libraries, the summer is the crazy time.
Right.
And then in September, you can finally rest.
Back to school slows you down.
But
back
now
to school is about to crunch you.
Now I'm in academia, so it's gonna be pretty rough, but hopefully around October we'll have gotten through that first rush, so I'll have some time then.
Yep.
But I'm still working on it. It's still gonna happen.
Okay.
First episode might not come out until next year, but it is happening.
I wasn't gonna mention it. Martin Gray probably would have mentioned it, so I'm glad you mentioned it. As far as the next year goes, I don't know of anything major. You know, maybe what you're working on in terms of Shortbox Showcase. Episode 75 is more than a year away.
Yeah, so I'm not thinking about that yet.
But we do need to think of a big thing to cover. But other than that, I think the next 12 months might resemble the last 12 months, at least for me, and that would be okay.
I'd be good with that. It's been a pretty solid podcasting year.
So that is the state of the pod.
And now it's time for feedback. We don't have any new iTunes reviews, but we do have a few more 5-star ratings, so thank you very much.
You know who you are.
Whoever you are. And we've done this before, but our first feedbacker is Professor Allen.
Dear Professor Allen and M. No, wait. I did want to give an update from episode 58 when we talked about the bestsellers list and the books on our pull list, because some things have changed since then. Super Sons has been canceled.
Right.
But those stories continue with a new title, Adventures of the Super Sons. So that's just a one-for-one. Mm-hmm. The status of John Kent is changing in the Bendis era, but they specifically said that this story, which is a 12-issue mini, takes place before that. So some of the continuity people.
Yeah.
Got a little bent out of shape about that, but it's basically a continuation of the old series, just with a new name. And
yes,
as you heard earlier in the episode, we're fans of the Super Sons.
We quite like them, so we are definitely going to be picking up that mini, at least for now.
Green Lanterns is coming to an end soon, in a few months. And although I'm bummed, the fact that Jess and Simon got more than 50 issues,
that's actually pretty great.
That's not bad at all, actually.
They did better than Demon Knights.
Now, my understanding is that Hal Jordan is basically coming back as the number one Lantern in Lantern World.
Yeah.
That reset is always going to happen, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that those two, especially Jessica, that she doesn't just fade into obscurity.
Yeah.
And we joked about in that episode how much cooler John Constantine was than so many others, because his book was in 172nd place on the sales charts.
But it is coming to an end, always.
After 24 issues, but he's coming back to TV as a Legend of Tomorrow, so there's got to be a comic book, right?
Right. The new Justice League Dark book is going to be coming out.
Hasn't been mentioned, but
you've got to think that he's definitely going to be in it. Maybe not a lot, but He's gonna... He was in Scooby-Doo Team-Up.
That was a highlight. It was the whole magic issue. And Zatanna needs help finding Zatara. And so they go to every magical person. Some off-screen, most on-screen, and off-screen one. Fred comes back and says, they were all really nice and well-dressed,
helpful, except for that one guy in the trench coat. And Z just crosses her arms and like, I don't want to talk about him. You know!
So the fact...
I've talked about this before, that I love John in all of his various permutations. The original Vertigo run, even when I haven't liked quite what they've done with his character in every single instance, a lot of his new appearances I still like. They're all just different variations on a theme. But I think my new favorite variation is John Constantine. You know, Zatanna's dumb ex-boyfriend. I'm actually a pretty big fan.
Zatanna's bad boy face.
Yeah. Yeah, her,
I like that.
Her idiot ex. Like, that's great.
That is the furthest thing from a one true pairing. But I kind of like the fact that they're exes.
Yeah.
It's something about that. I don't know.
It's good. It's a good bad relationship, and I am very here for it. So.
Currently.
Wrapping up the update.
We do have Super Sons. Wonder Woman. I am getting the Justice League Dark book.
Yep.
And then just sort of work that in with some miniseries. Remember, we have to keep 5 to get a discount at the LCS. So Lady Mechanica is doing a miniseries this summer. And then I've enjoyed what I found so far from Alterna Comics, and the $1.50 price tag doesn't hurt.
So it is sad that some of our favorite books will be coming to an end. But again, it is shocking
that some have lasted that long.
For a good long while. We were actually buying books that other people were buying. That doesn't happen very often.
Exactly. Now, most of our actual feedback is about Heroes Con, but we're going to start with a piece of feedback about San Diego Comic-Con. We wanted to reply, while it's still sort of timely, and that is a question from our friend Isaac in Michigan. Ask just generally what we thought of some of the superhero trailers and related news that was dropped at San Diego Comic-Con. So, for me, the star of that was Shazam. Looks like fun. I was on board with Zach Levy from the start, and this just confirms that, because I think he can get the innocence of Billy Batson. My concern is the same as it is with any iteration of Shazam, because the S is the wisdom of Solomon. And how do you define wisdom, and how do you portray wisdom? To me, that's sort of the unmentioned aspect of Shazam that I sort of try to pay attention to. But I loved that trailer.
My big standout was Aquaman, where my feelings on Aquaman were basically your feelings on Shazam and vice versa. Shazam looked interesting, sure. Like, I'm intrigued by what they're going to do. I trust that they're going to do it pretty well. But Aquaman was honestly what I was here for. I love...
Was Aquaman in the trailer, or was it just Mira? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I've been paying attention to Shag's Facebook a little too much. It was mostly Mira. She's hot, what I hear.
She really is. So,
but the good thing is, Aquaman, he's pretty hot too.
Pretty good-looking pair. So it looks pretty solid. Of course, I don't have a very big sort of stake in the Aquaman lore.
Right.
But it looks like they're doing Atlantis pretty well. It looks fairly standard, but honestly, I will just take a solid, good, mainline Justice Leaguer movie, please. Wonder Woman was excellent. I want them to continue good, solid, well-directed solo films. Shazam looks fun, but it is sort of an out-of-left-fielder that it'll sort of stand on its own. I think that they're gonna get Aquaman pretty good, and of course I love Jason Momoa, so I am excited to see him getting to be more Aquaman than he was maybe in Justice League, where it was more just sort of Arthur Curry on his own. Getting to see the actual Aquaman story and extended cast, I am very, very here for.
And for thoughts on Venom and the Venom trailer, hello Luke Giaconetti. For thoughts on the Titans trailer from TV,
Yeah.
Not even heavy sigh, just,
I had, this is just what I'm learning about television, is I should just stop having hope. Because every time I want to go to bat for something, whether it be Titans or Iron Fist, I always think, you know, this can be done well. I know how it can be done well. And then it just misses the mark, like, not even a whiff, just like in a completely different ballpark where I'm like, you know, I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt. I wanted to go to bat for you. You had potential and you wrecked it.
Two TVs I have hope for. Doctor Who.
Yep.
Jodie Whittaker. I loved it.
So ready. I am so ready.
If I asked real nice, would you be my new besties? I mean, yes, I will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, she really does get that sort of wide-eyed innocence,
mm-hmm,
and just wonder that I really think that the Doctor, yep, needs. It's what I loved so much about Matt Smith,
mm-hmm,
that Matt Smith really is like my Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, every series is hit and miss,
yep,
and every series has its ups and downs, but I think that was one of my favorite aspects of my favorite Doctor, and seeing it show up in Jodie Whittaker's performance makes me very happy. I know that my roommate is also very excited because she's from the North.
Mm-hmm. Lots of planets have their Norths.
Yes, that's wonderful. And also we're most excited because Moffat has nothing to do with it.
That was...
Again, such potential! Such potential!
I don't want to give any spoilers, but expect some Doctor Who-related content on the podcast next year. That's all we're saying. One more bit of high hopes. Constantine on Arrow.
Again, the...
with the right actor, mm-hmm, with the right sidekick, Gary!
Gary! So, this is what I have learned. You just gotta have low expectations. And frankly, Legends of Tomorrow is... Not a great television program, which means
Are perfect for that show.
Matt Ryan is going to shine because he is excellent at his job. And
when he was on before, he and White Canary, that was a fun Zatanna-like relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was complex and kind of terrible, and I loved it. So I have high hopes for him in particular in that context, if only because the first time that we saw him doing his magical practice, he was attempting to cast a love spell using a chicken.
Well, as you do.
And the fact that he referenced magic is a gig economy was perfect. That one line sold me on this whole concept. So it's all going to depend on individual writer, showrunner, if there's any sort of oversight or quality control or things like that. But provided that they can keep that sort of focus,
I don't know what they're allowed to use from the NBC Constantine show.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine Spectre is off limits because they was beyond hinted at.
Yes.
Dr. Fate just barely hinted at, but I don't know if that puts it off the table. We pitched Dead Man a couple years ago for the Constantine show. Boston Brand as a legend. To me, that could work as well.
That would be so good.
It's a very easy special effect. It's some sort of wind effect or something, and someone just starts talking a little differently.
Yeah, weird colored eyes.
That's all you need.
So I'm very hopeful for that because they also do love their body switching in that particular series. So they're pretty big fans of shape-shifting and body swapping.
Was it in one of the... did they actually do it? Of him trying to cast a demon out of someone and it being Dead Man? Maybe we just kick that idea around as the way of introducing Dead Man. Because that would be what you do. Someone's possessed by a demon. Constantine tries to... and it's his old buddy Boston.
And then he's like, Boston, the heck are you doing in there?
I don't know. I think that could happen. Did you hear about the Disney and DC streaming services?
I did not.
The Disney one was announced, a year or so ago. That's where all the Netflix and all that stuff is going to migrate eventually. The DC one is supposed to include all DC superhero movies and TV shows, including the old Supermans and the old Batmans, Wonder Woman, and that's where the New Titans is going. There's also a comic aspect to it. They have not full said it's unlimited DC. They've used sort of code words like classic comics are available from our past, or we'll curate a selection. So that's always the shaky. But if it turns out to be even close to a DC Unlimited.
But it might be an unlimited access provided no more recent than 5 years or something.
I don't
like
know.
That.
Or they just may pick and choose. You know, the worst case would be they'd have something for a limited period of time and it would go. Then something else would come in and, so, you know, they'd always have a 1,000 comics available, but it would rotate in and out sort of thing. That would be the worst case.
Yeah, so, that would not be great. But
or this month, all the Flash books you could want are all there. Next month, all the Green Lanterns, but no Flash. And so you don't know. They've not used words like unlimited or everything.
Yeah, or complete collection.
They've used words like selection and curate. So that, to me, is one to see how it shakes out. But we're at least a step or two in that direction.
I'm hopeful for that. Because I had seen something about WB-esque streaming something, and it was always with like Titans on it. And I was like, okay, fine, yeah, whatever. But if it actually has all of their old shows, I'm talking like 77 Wonder Woman, 66 Batman.
They are supposed to be on there. I don't know if Shazam would be, or if other versions, or older cartoons, or
that
Batman Beyond and some of those animated.
That's the
then
key
we're
is
talking.
If it has the whole Timverse.
Then we're talking.
Most people would pay just for the privilege of having unlimited access to the Timverse.
Yeah.
And then if you also throw in some of the classic... let me just say, I have never wanted to pay money in order to see the Swamp Thing live action things. But I have always wanted to see
one of the
Swamp Thing live action things. And if those are going to be part of a bundled price that
Titans
also gets me comics...
is the only new TV that we've seen. But Swamp Thing is one of the live action TV things they're thinking about or doing or will eventually be on here. Maybe that's where Dead Man goes. I don't know. You know, they have such a deep bench.
Because that's the thing, is it's like their newer stuff is very hit or miss.
I don't know if the CW Seed cartoon, like it's stuff, like what all
so
gets pulled onto
what
it.
I'm assuming is that most of the CW stuff stays independent because CW has its own streaming platform. So CW and CW Seed remain on their own. That's fine.
Possibly, yeah.
But if they can get the other cartoons, plus some new TV shows, plus some classic live action, depending on the price point, if it also has comics,
it's in the $7-$9 a month range. It's under $100 a year. I don't want to be the guinea pig,
but I mean, I might be.
Personally, I was thinking Shag.
Well,
You know, Luke, Jack, and Eddie. If someone wanted to jump in and try it once it starts and let us know, I'd love to know. Anyway, that is San Diego Comic-Con recap. But we need some Heroes Con recap, because that's where we were at last episode.
We heard from Jason Marcinet, who was one of the people that we met. Professor and M, I enjoyed your Heroes conversation very much. Heroes is one of my all-time favorite cons. This was my fourth year of attending. I had many highlights, but one of the top ones was meeting the two of you.
Aww.
It's a very well-run show. The guest list is always amazing. And I also like this entire show is focused entirely around comics, making it a must for any comic fan. Professor, good luck with your sketchbook endeavor. It can be an addicting hobby. I carried a sketchbook for a while. It then evolved to commissions on blank comic covers, and then commissions on whatever page of paper the artist was using, and then buying the original. Keep up the good work, Jason Marcinet.
I talked about that sketch process in more detail on a comics reading journal, and so there was some feedback over there, and the word addiction was used in basically every person who had talked about their dabbling in that particular addictive hobby.
Well, good news. Good news is that aside from certain very select artists who you are big fans of, Mike Grell, you don't have a particular art focus.
So I can go cheap, and I can go on the downs.
You can do the unknown.
You were a great spotter at that, by the way.
Thank you.
You were awesome at that at Heroes Con.
That it's cool to get sketches from named artists, but you can just walk around and be like, oh, how much are your commissions? $17. Oh, okay, that's interesting. I like your style. Here's $20.
Knock it out.
Knock yourself out. So I think that will help keep the price point down to a certain degree of sort of having a potpourri sort of like perspective of a little bit here, there from whoever.
That's going to help. Now, as we record this, our good friend Dr. Ange is at the Boston Comic Con with his sketchbooks.
Ooh.
Because, as we pointed out on, you know, when the sketchbook is with one person, it can't be with someone else. So the good doctor figured out a solution to that. Oh, he has three. Please don't let me get this crazy. Please.
You know, if we'd thought about it, what we should have done is gotten those sketchbooks that have the rings, instead of being a spiral bound, that have the rings, that you can actually pop them open, so we could hand out two or three sheets to an artist and then come back and collect them. That is my free tip to anyone who wants to start a sketchbook. Get those fancy ones that have the D rings that you can actually pop open. Do put numbers on the back of your pages.
There's that bit of advice was given as well. Good. We also heard from a new feedbacker, Rafe York. He was at the con. So we may have crossed paths unknowingly. Hello, Professor and M. After listening to your Heroes Con episode, I felt compelled to write and share some of my thoughts and experiences from the weekend. Before I start, though, I want to warn you, I am the anti-Alan.
Oh, no.
When I go to Heroes Con, the concept of thrift is forgotten.
Ooh.
Mostly.
Dangerous.
Yeah. That is the other drawback to the original art market. It is about as far away from quarter bins as you can imagine. Last year, Rafe says, I made the late decision to attend my first Heroes Con. He had already purchased a 3-day pass from another con, but then he looked at the Heroes Con guest list and immediately changed his mind and booked Heroes Con instead. And he drove from Minnesota.
Woo!
In one sitting. This is where having, you know, a family member also.
Or three.
As a geek, a compadres really helps. He says, I loved it mostly for a reason that you mentioned several times in the podcast. It's a comic convention. So here are my thoughts on this year's con. I went for 3 days. If you drive 1,200 miles alone for a comic con, you go all 3 days.
Yeah, for sure.
He set some rules for himself for each day, which, by the way, I loved.
Yep.
Day one, Friday, pay no more than $5 on any book. I failed when I found a copy of Marvel Teen Up 12, the final issue he needed to complete the series. That's like an excuse.
Yeah, you always get a mulligan because there's always something.
Attend at least one panel, fail, and get signatures on a third of the books. Success. Saturday, Artists Alley all morning, buy a lot of books, somewhat successful. Attend at least one panel, failure again. There is a pattern.
Yeah, I see the pattern.
More signatures, success. And then on Sunday, make sure to hit every comics dealer. I think I succeeded, he says.
That is a high goal because there are a lot of people.
Swing by the Tomorrow's booth. More signatures, yes. I was really into autographs this year. And attend at least one panel. Say it with me.
Failure.
Now, you and I, on that second day, we had lunch upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I saw that the panels were going on. But they seemed sort of small and out of the way. So I don't know that at Heroes Con.
They definitely felt like an afterthought.
Yeah.
It's
a con. We have to have panels. That's sort of how it felt to me. But
yeah. And I'm sure that some of them were probably really good. But they were physically out of the way. And they were not particularly well advertised.
Yeah, I didn't sense that.
And the signage was really difficult. Because we tried to find a panel one
time.
That
is true.
And we not only got lost, but I'm pretty sure ended up on the wrong floor.
I think that is possible. Rafe said he kept hearing how busy Saturday would be, and it was the busiest, but he didn't think it was all that bad, neither did we, really. The convention floor never seemed crowded or out of control, and he talks about the layout, and they had plenty of room for walkways.
I will say that. The floor plan for the convention mm-hmm. is incredible. And there were people in pretty substantial costumes. No impediment whatsoever.
I didn't see a lot of bumping.
Or people with trucks of comic books. Right. Also, not in anybody's way.
Rafe wanted to echo my statement about meeting Rags Morales. He is one of the nicest comics pros I've ever met. I met him at the Chicago Comic-Con in 1994. And my younger brother, then a sophomore in high school, asked Rags to look at some of his drawings. And he spent about 30 minutes reviewing a 15-year-old's art, giving suggestions and compliments. And my brother came away from the experience more motivated than ever. 24 years later, my brother is a professional painter of pictures, not walls. I shared this with Rags as he was signing a few books for me, and he asked for my brother's website. He immediately went to it on his phone, scrolled through a few of the paintings, and said, "Wow. Tell your brother the student has surpassed the teacher." Furthermore, Rags signs every book, "Thanks, Rags Morales." I did notice that. And I get the sense that he means it. He's grateful that we, his fans, like his work.
Rafe also decided to get some sketches this year. He bought 5 blank cover editions of Fantastic Four number 1, with plans for getting a sketch of Doctor Doom on one, and his 4 co-stars on each of the others.
The supporting. I like to think of them as the Pips.
Oh, yeah. He says, "When I saw Keith Giffen had no line, I asked him for the Doom sketch. He also signed some Legion of Superheroes books. The sign on his table listed the prices for sketches, which were pretty high. I wasn't sure which applied to the sketch that he actually did, since it was on a comic, not a page. So I asked, 'How much do I owe you?' He said, 'I don't know, $20? It says prices start at $100. "Oh, they just put that there," he said. I gave him significantly more than 20.
Rafe said, "This is getting long, so I'll skip some of my other stories," including Ariella Cristantina, artist on Matahari, was thrilled to see I brought the books with me rather than buying them from her. I will say, I was caught in a mess of traffic in West Virginia as well. So he says, "Sorry to go on so long, Rafe. Great to hear from you and appreciate your feedback. And yes, it is pretty hard to go to conventions on the cheap." But I do love that rule of having certain amounts to spend and all of that. Without that, you would end up like M.
Like no money after maybe like 7.5 hours.
Our friend Old School Ross is also at Boston Comic Con as we record this. And this morning he posted a picture. He's going with his daughter, and posted a picture of them this morning at breakfast, sort of dealing out the 20s as to who was going to spend how much. Interesting. You go with your child. So we talked about the Bank of Dad.
Yeah.
Various versions of the Bank of Dad. I also wanted to mention that idea of the blank comic cover variant.
Genius.
That is such a great idea. Again, the mind boggles at how many of them Marvel and DC have sold over the years. They're, in essence, selling a $4 piece of paper to be sketched upon. It is a pretty great idea.
It's fantastic, and I can just imagine, you know, I saw there was one seller. It was all blank comics, and I can just imagine that they wait for the blank comic variants and buy 400 or 500 of each one and just, like, get
and
a whole
and
bundle
they
and just...
Yep.
They retail for 4 for the book and then sell them for 5 because, hey.
You're desperate for it. You want to.
You want. Oh, hey, Keith Giffen's here. Well.
We happen to have some.
Jim Lee, you want to get that? Well.
We happen to. Rafe said that he hopes it was not his last Heroes Con. And I think if you have your way, we haven't done our last Heroes Con either.
No, it's definitely going in the rotation.
Yep.
Ruth Sutherland from the RAD Podcast Network, a.k.a. Super Duper Sweetie Pie, said that she also really enjoyed this episode. "Professor Allen and M, I really loved this. It's terrific that you got to meet Pat Broderick at the con and to even record some of your conversation with him. You two did a great job sharing highlights of the con and putting the spotlight on some cool creators."
And it was pretty nice hanging out with you and that hubby of yours too, Ruth. Our old buddy Robert Ludwig wrote in to say hello and to talk about conventions and something else. Howdy, Professor Allen and M. Just wanted to drop a line to say thank you for all the wonderful podcasts you produce that Doom allows you to share with the rest of us. Lately, I was listening to your Shortbox Showcase Heroes Con cast. Sounds like everybody had fun and makes me wish I could have been there too. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time tonight, but one day when I have more time, I'll let you know about a quick encounter I had with Mike Grell or how I confused Peter David or shared a laugh with Michael Golden. Now here it comes, Em. Brace yourself. And as for my comic book collection, Robert says, I don't have anything really in alphabetical order, year order, numerical order, or any order at all. I'm going to let that sink in for all of our listeners.
No system. None whatsoever.
Just a few long boxes and a few paper boxes and a couple of deep bins. When I go looking for something, I have to dig. I always seem to find what I'm looking for, eventually. One of these days, I might try to do something with them, but who knows. Have a great day, Robert Ludwig. Does that make Robert the craziest person among us, or the most sane?
Here's the thing. If you are the sane man in the loony bin, where does that put you? I honestly don't know.
And what can we say?
To be fair, his system is probably more accurate than any of ours, because my books at home are just in piles, but I know
true.
Where everything
yeah,
is.
True.
A person at work puts one book, one shelf to the right, and it's gone for years.
Just saying.
Longtime friend of the network and our very first guest ever, Luke Giaconetti.
A cop on the edge.
Wrote in to say, Professor and Am, as Heroes Con has traditionally been the con to which I owe my primary allegiance, I am very glad to hear you had such a wonderful time. I'm sorry that I could only spend one day there this year, but considering all the cool stuff crammed into that day, it was definitely worthwhile. Meeting up with not only the two of you, but also Mrs. Quarterbin and the Sutherlands made this year a very special experience for me.
That was a pretty awesome dinner.
I got it.
I'm not sure. I have no idea what we ate, where we were, but it was a pretty awesome dinner.
Mom cried. Luke brought presents. That was
her
so
mom.
Nice.
He pretends he's a New Yorker.
He's really nice, though.
He has become a good Southern gentleman.
Luke continues, for what it's worth, I have not had an opportunity to dig into the books I pulled from the $5 for $1 bins, which were primarily oversized 90s X-books.
Yep.
I was operating under the quantity of pages for the money approach, which we approve of here.
That usually works for me, except for the Evolutionary War annuals, but anyway.
Hopefully, Luke will be able to find some hidden gems. And hey, some of them might end up in your mailbox in the future. You
that's
know,
a threat, Luke.
That's a threat. Nice. You can try and say that you're looking out for us, but we know. Yeah. We know.
I mean, thanks in advance, Luke. And Luke did thank me for having him on the network for a quarter bin episode, even after we met in person.
There you go.
Tim Price was another internet buddy at the con, and he was bummed out that he missed us there. And then our good friend, the great Jared Albrick, listened to our episode and decided to live tweet it.
So it started out a little bit shaky. Glad to know you love me just for my home base. But
dude, it was a great home base. I mean, like, it's not our fault they put you in a great location.
It's not
Don't blame us.
It's not our fault that you had, like, Party House 2018. Like, it was just the best. Next update was, he went around asking indie creators for some voice drops. That's real interesting to learn since I don't remember being asked. #, this episode hurts my feelings.
Okay, it's possible that was an oversight. I mean, after the fact, that one, in retrospect.
That one was a goof. But he also had a fully produced audio promo for his comic.
Which we've already played in this very episode.
So, you know,
it's not like we've totally ignored his work.
I think we've made up for this complete 100% goof-em-up.
Now, Delvin, also from the Longbox Crusade, butted in at this point and said that he was enjoying the episode very much.
And also that Jared's kind of needy.
Jared had a strong response to that comment. I imagine it's easy to tweet when all you get is positive shout-outs. Delvin is the best. We love the restaurant Delvin picked. I love his silky yet woolen beard. I may have made up that last one for dramatic effect.
It is a beautiful beard. I don't
he
think
he did pick a great restaurant too. I mean, I don't want to blow past the beard too quickly, but it was still a great restaurant, and he is kind of the best.
Oh man, I just realized it's been like 3 months since we ate there. I really want to go back. Dang.
We'll work on it. We did slowly win Jared back, however.
Getting to hear a John Hartnett's Bubba the Monster Hunter reference was cool. We've bandied about turning that into a comic. Tantalizing, no? I hate that I miss seeing John at the show. Hashtag, maybe I should look at who else is going to be at a con.
Now, that one is on Jared.
But also, comic adaptation, huh?
Would not be a bad idea. We would not turn...
You would have a purchaser.
Possibly, probably just one, actually, between us. But just wait, we like to share. We're family. It happens. I'm sorry. And then we did talk about Jared and some of his work, getting a warm feeling about your kind words on my book page sketches, hashtag winning me back.
And then at the end, like literally the very end, whoa, the memory on Lady Quarterben, hashtag won me back, hashtag mainly because she remembered my brother Jason, hashtag, I love my brother Jason.
Now, I commented that I was glad we were friends again, and then Kirk Spencer joined the conversation saying that all this affection was making him uncomfortable. Too much emotion. I want action. Skyscrapers blowing up. Car chases. No rom-coms. Then, of course, there was more feedback about that special surprise guest, the character find of 2018.
From Ruth Sutherland, it was a pleasure to meet Mrs. Quarterben and a real treat to hear her voice on the show. It was a pleasure to meet her, and she was so kind to remember all of your podcasting friends.
And from Paul Hicks of DCOCD, Mrs. Quarterben's memory is mighty impressive.
Yeah, we think she's pretty impressive too.
So, that is all of our Heroes Con feedback. Ending with compliments to the true hero of the episode, as it turns out. I was getting used to being the second most important person on the network, but now that, the third?
Now that Mom has showed up?
I'm really in trouble.
Oh,
I think I'm in trouble.
The only thing would be worse is if we still had a cat, because that cat would
that
be
is true.
Definitely number
that is
one.
True, so... Ay.
I think this was a solid anniversary celebration. Friends and family and memories and conventions.
And a crazy audio drama.
A really weird audio drama, so...
Our friends making animal noises. I'm still thinking that at some point between recording this and releasing this, I'm going to go into that podcast Facebook group and just say, you know, there's not really an audio drama. I just wanted audio of you all making animal noises for future use.
Oh... Do it.
I think I need to do that.
Do it. Do it.
So again, we'd like to thank all of you listeners for being our podcast friends, whether you've been with us for 5 years or since HeroesCon. We appreciate you all.
And if you have anything to share with us, comments on this episode, and we actually do mean it, any of our prior episodes, I'd love to hear from you. You can send those comments to relativelygeeky@gmail.com. Or comment when we post the episodes on relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com.
But when it comes to anything we've ever talked about on any episode in the last 5 years, or will talk about in any upcoming episode in the upcoming X number of years, always remember this. We are not experts.
We're just family.
We have to start again. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Okay, so let's start back at the beginning. Let's start with the cats. Alright, the birds.
Tweet, tweet, caca, caca. How do you do that?
I roll my tongue.
Hoo, 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 hoo.
All right, dogs. You wanted to do wolf, right?
Yeah.
Go for it. What else can we do?
What about a cricket?
I can't really do a cricket.
Okay, what about...
I mean, do you want to do bees?
Sure. Bzzz.
How about a goat? She's a fan of screaming goats. I think that'll about wrap it up. What do you think?
What about one more?
Okay, what's one more?
Let me think. Could you help me think?
How about a moose?
Sure.
Mook!
Mook! Moo!
All right, good job. High five. All right.